Last season, the Philadelphia 76ers finished 19-63. That gave them the NBA's second-worst record. This season could be even more dismal, but for Philadelphia GM Sam Hinkie, that's okay. Actually, it's more than okay. It's the plan. Joining me to explain is Philadelphia Inquirer columnist Mike Sielski. Mike, why isn't the Philadelphia front office doing all it possibly can do to help the 76ers improve on last year's showing?
In their minds, they're doing all they can possibly do to improve 2, 3, 4 years from now. The philosophy is that the only way to win, or the best and most likely way to succeed in the NBA, is to acquire as many superstar players as possible. The best and most direct way to do that is to be as bad as possible so that you can hopefully procure the number one overall pick in the draft and draft a superstar, or failing that, collect a very high draft pick and draft a superstar. And if you do that long enough, you will collect players who will go on to become superstars. And that's the Sixers' plan.
Long enough is the key to what you've just said, because we've all heard of NBA teams tanking before, but usually it's just for one season. Are the 76ers taking this strategy to a new level?
I think they are. I mean, they tanked last season. They are following a similar route this season. But the way they're approaching this is that they've got a couple young pieces that they really like, players such as Nerlens Noel and the reigning rookie of the year, Michael Carter-Williams. And the rest of the season is basically going to be kind of an audition for whoever else wants to be part of their future or anyone they judge to be a player worth keeping.
In a recent column, you touch on an NBA proposal designed to short-circuit the Sixers' strategy. That was the way you put it. What was the gist of that proposal, and why did it fail?
The gist of it was that instead of having those teams with the NBA's worst records have a far higher chance of getting the number one overall pick in the draft, the proposal would have flattened the odds for getting the number one pick among all of the 14 teams every year that end up in the NBA draft lottery. I think the reason that it failed was because owners of enough teams realized, hey, we may be in the Sixers' position before we know it. You can never predict exactly when your team's going to be really bad.
All right, that logic prevailed this time around, but is it just a matter of time before we do see some change in the NBA's lottery system?
I don't know if it's a matter of time. I think it's possible, yes, in the sense that I wonder if other franchises are going to adopt the Sixers model or something close to it. The big question around the NBA, and this has been a big question for years, is what is the best route to success? And the consensus seems to be that if you get stuck in that middling area where you're not really, really, really good like the San Antonio Spurs, and you're not really, really, really bad like the Sixers are right now, then it's very difficult to get the kind of superstar players you're going to need to make a difference, to vault yourself up to the NBA's elite. So if more and more teams who have been stuck in that middling ground, as the Sixers were for a decade before trying this experiment the last year and a half, then you'll probably see the lottery reform revisited.
This is fascinating to me because the corollary to all this is no matter how great the coach is, he can't teach the players to be that much better. The trick is get the players who are going to be that much better just because they are.
Well, I think you're right to an extent. Having said that, I do think Brett Brown, the Sixers head coach, is doing everything he can to teach the players he has, to try to cultivate a kind of strong basketball culture, even though his team is going to get its brains beat in night after night after night.
Former 76ers coach Larry Brown, who now coaches at Southern Methodist University, has already voiced his displeasure with Philadelphia's strategy. How are 76ers fans handling all of this?
There seems to be a pretty good divide, I think, and it's almost generational in a way. I think old-time basketball fans are more inclined to look at what the Sixers are doing and poo-poo it and say that they're pulling the wool over their customers' eyes because you're not trying to win. I think a younger generation that is more in tune with analytics and the odds of trying to rebuild a team through the draft is looking at this and saying, well, if you try to win with this team, it's like trying to open a bank vault safe to get the money by banging your head against the door of the safe. You know, you're going to exert a lot of effort, but it's not going to get you anywhere.
As I mentioned, last year the Sixers were 19-63, pretty bad. Back in 1973, the 76ers were 9-73. That's the worst record ever in a full NBA season. Can this year's 76ers be even worse?
It's very possible, yes. As I said, they have the reigning rookie of the year in Michael Carter Williams, their point guard. He's recovering from off-season shoulder surgery at this point. He could return in November, but there's no guarantee that he will. The team's first pick, Joel Embiid, a center from Kansas, is recovering from foot surgery. There's no guarantee that he'll even play this year. So given the roster that the team has now, I think it's very possible that they'll challenge the 72-73 Sixers for that 9-73 worst overall record.
Well, the suspense is one reason to watch the Sixers this year, I guess.
You got that right.
Mike Sielski is a columnist for the Philadelphia Inquirer. You can link to his story, Clear Sailing for Hinkie and Second Tanking Campaign, at our website, onlyagame.org. Mike, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill. Anytime.